Let us turn again to the chapter we read in Galatians. Galatians 6. And you find my text in verse 14. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And especially the first part of the verse. So my title for this evening is this: The Cross of Christ and the Delight of Christians. The Cross of Christ, the Delight of Christians. Now before someone may wonder of having missed some of the chapters from our Galatians study, I'll just remind you that I haven't gone through Galatians yet. We decided to start a small series on this letter. We have seen chapter 1 and 2. But I've taken the liberty to having a little break, and we'll, God willing, continue very soon. But this verse in particular came to me for this week. So that's the reason why I'm chapter 6. Don't worry, we haven't finished Galatians yet. So we'll come back soon. But just to remember what was going on here, we have seen right from chapter 1 that there were individuals in this congregation where Paul was writing to that were forcing brethren there to be circumcised, so to be called true Christians. That was their view. This group of people was pretending that to be Christian, of course, like they were, because they were Jews, to be Christians, receiving and believing in Christ, in this good news, that was fine, yes. But for the Gentiles, for those who were not Jews, they should have been circumcised. They were imposing this. And these people were trying to influence the congregation more and more. But Paul is developing this, and he's warning these believers, because he's basically telling them, for example, chapter 4, verse 17, Paul is telling them, well, these people are so zealously affecting you, but it is not for your good. Paul saw through their second goal. Verse 17, chapter 4. They zealously affect you, but not well. So their main desire was their self-glory. They wanted followers. These people wanted only to be revered and followed and heard as those who were giving the right teaching. But of course, Paul was not of the same mind. Paul, right from the beginning of chapter 1, is telling them about the true basic gospel. And he's right away speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation by faith alone in Christ. Now, here is at the end of his letter. He has been given, as we have seen at the beginning of the chapter, some pastoral advice, some encouragement, and he is concluding with this verse, saying that regarding circumcision and regarding the teaching of these people that are trying to glory themselves in what they have and what they say, Paul is here saying, God forbid that I should glory in anything else than the cross of Christ. Now, I'd like to look at these two main points from this verse, which is, first of all, the cross of Jesus, and secondly, the delight of the Christian, because Paul says that he wants to glory, to have delight in the cross of Christ. And this is intended for all true believers as he is speaking to these people. So these two main things. First of all, the cross of Jesus. The cross of Jesus Christ. And I have a few sub-points regarding, first of all, the historical use of the cross. Now, the cross was considered one of the most cruel, painful way of killing people. And history tells us that it's not only from the Roman Empire that all this started, but from historians we know that Assyrians, Phoenicians, and Persians as well were using this kind of punishment all throughout their battles. And it seems that Alexander the Great was the one who started practicing this more and more from the east to the west. He was applying this to robbers and rebels, those who were opposing his rules. So then, after him, the Romans, of course, adopted this. And they spread the use of the cross, this penalty, more and more, even further on, just to threaten people, to control the people and expand their kingdom. Probably the younger ones, especially here among us, have never heard that there are records in Judea of mass crucifixions. We are used to speak about the cross and have the picture of Jesus with two other thieves there. But there was a time, and there are records, especially under the Emperor Titus, that in order to subdue the Jews, the Romans had quite a number of occasions of hundreds of people crucified outside the walls of a city. There was no more place for placing crosses. And one historian reports these words: there was no place left to place crosses, nor enough crosses found to hang tortured bodies. That's the use of the cross. That's what history tells us. And then, of course, the cross became the symbol of Christianity as time went by, and because of what you very well know. The Jews believed and were told, even if we read through Deuteronomy, that anyone who was hanged on a tree or the cross was accursed. Deuteronomy 21 says this: his body, this is God commanding the people of Israel, so to not bring curse on the land. So if someone was killed and put on a pole, God commanded this: his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land may not be defiled, which the Lord thy God give thee for an inheritance. It was God protecting the people, telling them that the land should not receive the curse, leaving people dead on the tree. So this was already from the Jews' mind and teaching they received from God. And in all the biblical theology, we learn and we always receive the reference to a sacrifice. That will become, as you know, the central message. There is no real understanding of the whole message of the world, of the Bible, whether the sacrifice and then the sacrifice of Christ on the cross is not central. You will get this teaching from Genesis 3:15 to Revelation. I've noted here Revelation 5:6, which I think it's worth reading. I'm sure we all remember Genesis 3:15, but Revelation 5, verse 6, tells us this. This is the vision of John in the future and what is happening, and says, "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain," and so on. So even there, in the midst of the elder, before the throne of God, there stands a lamb that has been slain. That's the message of the Word of God. There was to be a sacrifice, and this happened in God's plan and wisdom to be on the cross. So when we come to the New Testament, we receive, of course, much teaching on the cross. And mainly, we are to acknowledge that there are two different meanings. For example, Paul sometimes refers to this terrible death on the cross, and he's referring to the wooden cross. He is referring to the kind of death that Christ did bear. I'll read to you Philippians chapter 2. You remember when Paul is describing the servant coming on earth, the king's servant. Verse 8 says, "He," referring Christ, to Christ, "he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross." That's plainly what Paul is saying. That's where he is referring to. Because Christ truly died on this means of killing people. He died not an ordinary death, but he died as a sacrifice on the cross, a wooden cross. That's what Paul is referring there. But we are to acknowledge as well that, for example, when Jesus will speak about the cross, yes, of course, he referred to his going to Jerusalem many times and his laying down his life, but he at times spoke as well of the cross in another sense. And this was, for example, Matthew chapter 10, or Mark chapter 8. You remember the words of Jesus to the disciples: "He that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me." Then again, Mark, Jesus will say, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, of course, Jesus was not meaning that each and every one of his followers had to die on that physical cross. He didn't mean that everyone had to imitate his suffering so to be saved. Jesus was not merely only an example to be followed. His death on the cross was unique, and it was with a purpose. He is not to be admired like people admire, for example, Gandhi or other famous good people in this world, or some other heroes. Christ was speaking about the suffering of the Christian life. Christ was meaning that all his true disciples had to endure some kind of suffering, had to deny themselves for his name's sake. So that was a picture, that was a reference to the cross, but for this, with this meaning. The cross of Jesus. So we have seen the historical meaning of the cross. We see that the cross has become the symbol of Christianity. There are these different teaching in reference to the cross. And now let us think about Paul speaking on the cross. The Apostle Paul is writing very much, of course. His preaching is full of the saving work of Christ on the cross. This is his central concern, and this is where he points out all the time how salvation is provided for sinners. Paul will say to the Corinthians, you will remember, the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but it is the salvation of those that believe. To Paul, the cross of Christ was the most important subject. It was not only because of his preaching, but it was very important for his own life. We have read and we have studied a little bit chapter 2 of this letter, verse 20. What did he say? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. His life, for his life, Paul knew that the cross was basic. And as well for his knowledge, for what he believed, he would say, in one occasion, to the Corinthians, chapter 2, he said, I don't want to know anything else save Christ crucified. He knew, he believed, it was his source of life. It was crucial, because without the cross, for him and for his followers, for the Christian, there cannot be possibly any salvation at all. So this was what Paul said generally about the cross. Now, what about Paul's expression here in verse 14? Why can we say that the cross is the delight of the Christian? And let us look first of all at what he says, what he means by glorying in the cross of Christ. And then let us have a few points regarding the life of Paul himself. So, the delight of the Christian. Paul says, let us look again at verse 14. Paul is asking, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Now, the meaning of the Greek word glory here, we may express in our own language, we may say that Paul was boasting in the cross only. We can say this in a positive way. He was boasting of the cross only. But the to boast, it can infer as well a negative side, something, an aspect of pride, which is not present in the original Greek word, because the word there that Paul uses expresses praise, rejoicing, and glory. Therefore, of course, the translation is right and correct. But this is for us to understand the positive way in which, the incredible way that Paul is using this term here. He was glorying, he was proud of the cross. It was his delight. For the Jews, it was a stumbling block. For the Judaizers of Galatia, yes, they spoke about faith in Christ, but they were mixing this with the circumcision. For the other people outside of Israel, for the Greek world, it was the preaching of the cross, it was foolishness. It was an offense. And you can understand, having seen the history and the meaning of the cross, you can understand why. All this idea of a sacrifice, you can imagine what reaction it could have. So Paul is truly saying here, in other words, I rejoice and I want to have all my delight in the cross of Christ. Paul is asking this to God himself. He says to the Galatians, God forbid that I should glory in anything else apart from this. So I have here a short list of how Paul is applying this in his own life, how we can see and understand the meaning of these words for Paul, and how we should really, as Christians, live and understand the cross of Christ. So Paul positively is seeing the cross as the place where, first of all, he was proud of what Christ had done for him. Paul was proud of what Christ did on the cross. He was not ashamed. That's why his preaching was full of it. Paul knew that that would have been, should have been his place. Paul had the grasp that there on the cross was his own place. There on the cross, brethren, it is your place. It should have been my place. And Christ took it instead. That's why Paul wasn't ashamed of the cross. He was delighted. Although it was foolishness, it was awful to speak about that death. But it was here something that Christ had done for him. Now Paul saw the cross as well as the place where he was motivated for all things. There on the cross, the perfection of Christ's work was the real ground for all his life, for all his works. It was the place where all his hopes were laid upon. That was giving him motivation for all his life. He couldn't have said what we have read in verse 20, chapter 2. Yet not I, but the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We wonder how the Apostle Paul endured all his persecutions. We wonder how he managed to go through so many obstacles and receiving so many rebukes, but rejections by churches and false brethren and so on. We wonder at this, but the meaning, the real motivation was the cross of Christ for him. And then again, so he was proud of the cross. He was motivated by the cross. But what else he saw there? That he was made free by the cross. Paul knew he was freed from the world, from Satan, first of all, from the world and from sin. Paul knew that there was the end. On the cross ended all his slavery. It ended. The head of Satan was crushed. And the world, the whole world, was crucified to him. I have an helpful quotation from Matthew Henry here, because he's saying something about the world, which very often influences us and drives us away from focusing on the cross. Matthew Henry writes this: considering how the Savior suffered from the world, it is unlikely that I will be in love with the world again. This was what Paul grasped about the cross, the world and the suffering of Christ. What happened there on the cross made him free. And all this is what is making almost Paul shouting when we read verse 15. Where he says to these people and to his beloved Galatians, he says, there's no point you are discussing all this anymore. Forbid that I should glory in the cross, in anything else but the cross. For in Christ there's no circumcision, no uncircumcision, nothing else. But what matters is being a new creature. That's his conclusion. That's what he sees. The real Christianity is. What for Paul's enemies was so necessary, was so important, was so worthy of discussions and trying to win so many disciples in the Galatian congregation, to Paul was nothing at all. For Paul, one thing mattered: the cross of Christ. Everything else was of no value. So, what about looking at Paul's life? We have seen these few, we've considered what positively the cross of Christ meant for Paul. But let us look at negatively, meaning what he lost. The cross of Christ was most valuable to Paul above everything else. And what is this else to Paul? You just have to go and discover and remember how Paul lived his life, what he was, who he was. And then you'll be quite surprised, because in a negative sense, he was valuing the cross so much more than many other things. And for example, first of all, his nationality, his past. His being a Jew. Well, to us, it might not be very... might not sound that much to us all. But for Paul, to be a Jew and not boasting of being a Jew, it was quite a lot. You remember, if you read Philippians chapter 3, you'll find these words from Paul himself. He says, "If any other man think that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." And he says of himself, "I was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews." He was very high in the Jews' society, but he was truly and fully, and more than others, a real Jew. He must have been proud of it. Yet, because of the cross, this became of almost of no value to him. The cross was more important for Paul than his being a Jew. He was proud of the cross more than anything else. What else did Paul despise instead of the cross? Well, all his success. Read of the Apostle Paul and what he did. Is there any missionary in history that can compete with him? Read of how many churches he found. Read of how many persecutions he endured. Well, none of the apostles, for sure, could compete in all his hard work for the gospel. You don't find any of this boasting with the Galatians. He's not bringing before these people any of this, of his efforts for the Christ. He had been laboring more and more than many other apostles. He was imprisoned. In fact, 2 Corinthians 11, he will tell the Corinthians, remember this, in labors more abundant than others, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent than others. All that he endured, for him it was nothing compared to the cross of Christ. He delighted in the work of his Savior more than all that he did with his efforts. Then again, he could have brought all his gifts. He could have listed all his amazing ability to speak and to at all level of society. He was able to deal with poor men, unlearned men, with fishermen and people in the boats. And he was able to speak and persuade kings. He was dealing with religious people as well as with those in Athens who were clever philosophers of this world. No, he was not proud of this. And more than this, we read in 2 Corinthians 12, you remember, of his experience being caught up to the third heaven. He says, "I was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." He received an excellency of revelation compared to others. Indeed, he was privileged above others. No, to him there was nothing else to speak about, to be proud of, to delight and take pleasure than in the cross of Christ. And he, more than this, he pleads with God himself that nothing would happen lest to glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see his mind, his desires, what was important to him? Therefore, the question comes for you and me, friends. What is the cross of Christ to you? Is he a capital punishment? Is it something awful to be forgotten? Is it just an horrible place where your thoughts should never go? Is it maybe just a sign, a drawing? Some people carry the cross around their necks. Some others have a sticker on their cars. The cross is used just to focus on, to point out that they belong to one group instead of another. Is that the cross for you? Is the cross of Christ giving you false comfort? Is it just delighting you in speaking about the cross because you are part of the FCC or another denomination or whatever you would like to be part of? Is it the cross of Christ something that you hear very often and you like to speak about? Or is it the cross of Christ your delight? It shouldn't be a doctrine only. It shouldn't be something in our mind. It shouldn't be a train of thoughts by which we can talk and talk and be satisfied and show up our knowledge. The cross of Christ, for Paul, was his delight. It was the most important place that he knew he should have been. The cross of Christ is the delight of the true Christian. May the Lord help us all to be delighted in Him and to live for our Savior all the days of our lives.